Friends and enemies, welcome to Bad Voltage Season 3, Episode 55. My name is Stuart Langridge, and I'm here with Jeremy Audacity Garcia and... His name in plain sight, in my opinion, and Jono Discord Baker.
I'm happy that you put almost one half of second thought into it this time, which is the most time ever put into it, so it's excellent.
Why did I get Discord? Bucket of, like, 12-year-olds playing Call of Duty and thinking that they're edgy. Okay.
Well, I apologize. So, hi, everybody. We are Bad Voltage, and this time we are talking about a subject which we've been teasing for somewhere in between a week and about 6 months. We've been threatening for ages that we're going to talk about Mastodon. And now...
It has been a minute.
We're going to do exactly that. So... I'm interested, there's a whole big range of things to talk about, but first of all, we should summarize very briefly. I think it was 2016, so about 7 years ago, some people got together and started putting together a distributed social network. There's been work on this kind of thing before that, so Identica existed and so on, but the interesting thing about this was that they standardized on a protocol first called ActivityPub. And then there have been various implementations of a thing which allows you to share information like a social network does. And ActivityPub was designed to be a very general protocol. It's basically a way of saying, I have posted this thing, notify loads of people who are my followers in some sense that I have done so. And then there's a bunch of messages which can also come back, which say, I liked that or whatever. But the point is, a lot of people think of this as being very Twitter re-implementation, but it isn't. It's a low-level protocol. So there's loads of different things it could be put to, loads of different uses. But the main one, and the one which is getting all the press, is Mastodon, which is... essentially started off as a Twitter clone in much the same way that Identica did. But it's built on top of ActivityPub. And it's been getting lots of press recently for a bunch of reasons, because a lot of people have started using it. And those people have started using it for a bunch of reasons. And so I think...
But one main reason.
Well
let's be honest.
We will get to that and his Emerald Mine parents. But before we get to that point, I'm interested in, chaps, from your points of view, what do you think of Mastodon, the idea? I think we've run the gamut of using it a lot, have looked into it a bit, not much experience of it. But what do you think? So you'll be picking up some of this from what people are saying about it, some of this from what people are using with it. Do you have Mastodon accounts? Do you intend to have one? What are your initial thoughts on the whole thing?
I think we both have thoughts. So I tried to approach this when doing a little bit of research, and I do have a Mastodon account previous to this. I tried to act like I didn't know anything about Mastodon, so I went to look and search for Mastodon. I went to the homepage. I was very confused, and I realized, wrong Mastodon. If you search for Mastodon, you will not get joined Mastodon. But unrelated, did you know that Mastodon is touring, and they'll be in Coney Island on August 12th. If you want to check it out here in New York,
that's right.
Great.
If you want a straight-to-video version of Tool, go check out Mastodon.
Ouch. So getting back to the other Mastodon, there's a couple of questions here for me. Is one, do I think Mastodon is interesting, which is yes. Do I think it will be a replacement for Twitter, which is no. And part of the reason I don't is because of I don't think the average person wants to care about the Fediverse or ActivityPub or all the things that you legitimately have to care about to use Mastodon. But from my perspective, more importantly, I don't think there will be a replacement to Twitter, full stop, with no exceptions. It's zero chance to me. One, people don't really like to read text, it turns out. I really like to read text. I think it's the best way for me to consume information. I'm clearly in the minority on this one. But more important to that, when you think about how social networks have ebbed and flowed over the years, it's never a slightly better or open version of one that replaces the next. Like the next Facebook wasn't a better version of Facebook, it was Instagram. The next version of Instagram wasn't a better or different version of Instagram, it was TikTok. So the next thing won't be a slightly different Twitter. It's just not how social networks tend to work.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you, Jeremy, on this one. I don't think anything's going to replace Twitter. I think there are going to be many platforms. What will happen is something will replace Twitter because it's different, not because it's a replication of Twitter.
Yes.
In the same way that all of these social networks, at some point, they become a little bit passé. You know, like young people now, no one's using, from what I understand, I mean, our kiddo's too young to be on social media, but for people who've got like teenage kids, and you'll be able to talk about this. I mean, Neve's obviously older, she's not a teenager anymore, but like, no one's on Facebook, many of them aren't even on Instagram, like they're using other services. To me, what's interesting about Mastodon is that I think the biggest challenge with it, and I'm not on it, just to be clear, not for any ideological reasons, just because I haven't got around to it. I'd like to check it out, but I just don't really have a need for it. I love Twitter, and I use Twitter every day. But then again, I use the other social media networks as well. I think part of the challenge with it is I think it's just confusing for people. So it's relatively easy to understand for people like us, right, who are interested in technology. But I think for, you know, the average Joe or Josephine, this concept of all these different mastodons, and yeah, they're kind of connected together, is confusing. And then people primarily go to these social media networks based upon their interests in their friend group, right? Like the only reason why I use Facebook is because my friends are on there. So I think Mastodon's taken off, obviously, with a lot of techie people because there's a lot of techie people on Mastodon. And I know, Ak, you've said, like, just the people that you like hanging out with are there, right? Which is great. But I think for outside of that, I think it's going to struggle. Like, unless it starts being easier to use for the average person, it's going to struggle. So.
I also think the interesting thing there is there are definitely pockets heavily in tech, but also heavily in non-tech. Like there's a very large historian Mastodon that's very popular. And the discourse on those individual Mastodon instances is undeniably a higher quality discourse than was ever on Twitter, I would say. But the problem with that is Mastodon never was intended to be a Twitter replacement. It was intended to be an open federated microblogging service. And if it were to turn into Twitter, I think the people that love Mastodon would hate it, including the people that wrote and continue to maintain Mastodon.
The other thing that's kind of interesting to me as well is I just went, just as we're recording right now, I went to mastodon.social/explore. And, you know, what I kind of find fascinating here is a significant chunk of conversation that I'm seeing here is people basically being snarky and complaining about Twitter and Elon Musk. And it's like, I'm not really interested in that content. Like, not that I'm defending Musk or Twitter or anything like that, but I think it's got to stand on its own 2 feet in terms of like the value that it brings.
Yep. Right?
And obviously this is, I'm not suggesting all Mastodon content. Of course it isn't like this, but there is a surprisingly large amount of content on the Explore feed here that is just basically moaning about Elon Musk and Twitter. And it's like, it comes across as a bit like a kind of kind of like spiteful ex. So, but what do you think, Ak?
I was going to say, you've been making some interesting faces there, Mr. Langridge, and said suspiciously few words.
No, I agree with basically.
It's always weird when you don't say anything. It's like, something's about to come.
No, not at all. I mean, I basically agree with all of that. The thing that I think is interesting about the discourse, about the conversation, is that when people are reporting about Mastodon, they seem to be pitching the conversation as, is this a replacement for Twitter? Because they don't seem to have another way of contextualizing it.
That's a good point.
A lot of the mainstream press in general and tech press in particular are talking about this kind of thing as, well, is this a replacement for Twitter? Because the idea that there could be something that isn't that, that works on Twitter but isn't intended to be a replacement for it, seems to be wholly alien to them. And from my point of view, it's a replacement for Twitter's technology, sure, but Twitter's technology was never the important point. When you say what the next replacement for Twitter is going to be, I don't think there's going to be a replacement for Twitter at all. And I don't think it replaced the thing before it. Because what made Twitter interesting was not particularly the technology. It was very specifically the people who were on it. It's not more it's not more popular than other networks. I mean, Reddit's a million times more popular than Twitter ever was. Facebook, more so than that. I think Instagram might have more people on it than Twitter has. But what was important was that it seized the zeitgeist. And importantly, it seized the zeitgeist among the sort of people who are visible in the world. Journalists, celebrities.
Just before you, to be fair though, just before you go on, I agree with you, but I do actually think in Twitter's credit, like back in the early days when it started, I think one thing that it did do that was technologically interesting was the character limit. That was pretty unique at the time. Back in those days, it was in the midst of like long form blogging.
Well, no,
forcing people into thinking in short bursts of communation was actually technologically innovative.
So this is a necessity is the mother of invention thing. The reason the character limit was there was because people were SMSing to it, and you couldn't send more than 140 characters in an SMS, right? Or more 160. But importantly, what they did was they saw that limitation and built a thing on it. They turned it into a virtue created the idea of microblogging, which was pretty innovative. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Very clever. But the fact that Twitter seized the zeitgeist seems to me to have been partially an accident. I'm sure Twitter would say, no, we worked towards it from the beginning. And they did spend effort touting and courting celebrities, influential people, journalists, tech press, tech people generally, pulling people in from that side of things. And so what they did was they did a good job of making sure that people who talked loudly about stuff were doing it about their service and on their service. And it snowballed from there, which is great. But not only is it going to be hard for someone else to seize that because the way they got it was kind of by accident, but it's not at all clear to me that the world actually needs one of those things, right? It's not just that someone should, people might not be able to seize what Twitter was and do it again. It's that I don't think anyone should necessarily try, because what you get out of it is a lot of attention, but you don't get a lot of money, as we've seen.
No.
And attempting to chase it for clout makes you clout, in fact, with a K. Ha ha, who are terrible. But but that to me is what I think is interesting. That from my point of view, Mastodon is very much like Twitter when I liked it, which was in like 2012 or so. When sure, it didn't have every brand in the world on it attempting to make jokes. What it had was a high preponderance of relatively techie people who I knew, and it was nice. And from my perspective, Mastodon is like that. And that's good. So when people are posting graphs saying, but Mastodon new user acquisition has slackened off, I'm like, okay, but that's not really what I'm interested in. If I wanted somewhere with loads of users, I'd use Reddit or Facebook or TikTok.
So you only want a social network where you know everyone?
Kind of.
But you could do that. I mean, to be fair, you can do that on Twitter. If the people who you're interested in are on Twitter, of course. I mean, and some of those people will have moved to Mastodon.
Yeah.
Right.
So long as you only follow those people, then you can have exactly the same experience.
Yeah. And
it's no different.
As far as I can tell, you have to go to effort to provide that experience for yourself, because the default Twitter experience is not that. It is, here's a bunch of people you don't follow, but we think you care about them anyway.
Well, you've got to click one option in the settings. I'm not sure if I constitute that, quote, a bunch of effort.
I think there's more effort than that. So they now appear to have stopped the thing where it keeps switching your timeline back to the algorithmic one from the home one repeatedly. But now I've got two different timelines, or sometimes it becomes three different timelines where there's a verified one that I don't care about in the UI, right?
Yeah, I mean, but you just don't click on it, right?
Sure, but then...
There's always going to be options in software that you're not interested in. You just don't fucking click on it. I mean, it's...
Yeah, and...
I feel like you're finding the nonchalance of the answer.
Just don't click it.
No, I mean, that's exactly what I've been doing. I have not clicked on Twitter for...
Yeah, I never click on that verified timeline, because...
No, it serves no purpose.
I've
basically not clicked on Twitter at all, and I don't find that I've missed it.
Right.
Interesting.
But this is fine, you know. I mean, obviously, if for people who where they're still enjoying it, yeah, get stuck in. But that's what I think's interesting about it. The fact that the conversation's being contextualized as here's a replacement for Twitter. Why isn't everyone moving for it? And it's like it's not, and it's not intended to
be fair though.
And it's not intended to be.
Yeah,
exactly. And I feel for the community behind Mastodon, because I think part of the reason why, I mean, there's two reasons why that perspective formed. One was there weren't really any other options, and Mastodon kind of looks similar.
Yeah.
But I think it was more that, you know, some people, whoever they may be, started moving to Mastodon, and then that kind of caught on as a thing. Like, it became a thing of like, oh, this is my last tweet. I'm moving to Mastodon, and they put Mastodon as their username or their name in their Twitter profile.
Yep.
So it seemed to me like it was less about like the press decided that this was Mastodon was the place. They were just reporting on what they were seeing, which is frankly what I saw as well, which was like, a load of people seem to be going to Mastodon. You know,
and that's interesting. So interesting question for you chaps then. Why did people say I'm moving to Mastodon rather than I'm moving to TikTok. Here's my TikTok account. Or I'm moving to Instagram. Here's my Instagram account. People seem to be seeing I'm leaving Twitter and going to Mastodon rather than I'll have both. But everyone seems perfectly comfortable with the idea of having an Instagram and a Twitter account. Or having a TikTok and a Twitter account. Why are they? Is it just because they basically appear the same?
I think the people who made a statement about I'm going to Mastodon were leaving for ideological reasons.
Sure, but that's a reason to leave Twitter. That's not a reason to join Mastodon. Why didn't they all say I'm leaving Twitter to go to Instagram?
They were leaving for ideological reasons because they don't like Elon Musk. They don't like how Twitter's going to be wrong, whatever it might be. And I think a significant chunk of those people were leaving for ideological reasons. One of the reasons was the corporate takeover of a platform. So I'm moving to a platform where there isn't, or there is less of a risk of that corporate takeover. And Mastodon is the obvious place. If you go to TikTok, it's just another corporation. If you go to Instagram, it's just another corporation. And TikTok and Instagram, in my mind, are kind of excluded because they're just different types of social media networks.
Right. That's the thing. I think they left for Mastodon because it's similar.
Right, that was the question. I mean, yeah, it kind of looks and works mostly like Twitter. You don't have to relearn a new way of interacting with people, like you do if you're
using
I don't know, Be Real or something, right?
Fucking don't get me started.
Was not expecting a Be Real call out.
But yeah, so that to me is interesting. Yeah, I agree that some of it was attempting to make a statement. It's not just I'm leaving Twitter, but I'm going here. It's interesting because I think for a while people try to frame it as where this government gets, you know, I'm moving to Canada, and everyone always says Canada rather than somewhere else, right? But the point isn't I'm going to Canada, it's I'm going from here.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Twitter,
it's the rejection
but,
of the
but the
government
Twitter thing
or
didn't
whatever.
Seem yep. to be that. It wasn't just I'm leaving Twitter, so I'm gone now, see ya. It's I'm leaving Twitter, but I'm going here, so you should come here with me.
Some people were that. I mean, there were, of course, like some, there was a raft of celebrities who were like, this will be my last tweet. And then they didn't say they were going to Mastodon. But I'm guessing part of the reason for that is they probably just didn't know that Mastodon was an option.
I disagree. I think if you're doing it as a celebrity thing, for you, from your point of view, Twitter is broadly right only. Right? You're not reading anything on there. You're putting stuff out and people follow it.
Massive generalization of celebrities using Twitter. There are a lot of celebrities who very much engage with their followers.
Sure, but I don't think that many of them said, that's my last tweet and I'm gone, that's the end of me. Right?
What do you mean?
Because I think the people who said, that's my last tweet, I'm gone, that's the end of me, are going, right, I'm no longer going to have as obvious a public profile, which seems
right.
unlikely. But there's no point in going, here, I'm leaving Twitter, I'm going to Mastodon, because it's undeniably got fewer users and therefore less of a public profile there as well.
That's a good point, yeah.
Right, this is exactly, if you're in it because you want more people to follow you, if that's what you care about, then largely Twitter for you is write only. You're not interacting with people. It's a message board for you to send things out and for other people to pay attention. You're not.
Yeah.
You're not getting into conversations. You're not interacting with followers. Sure. Some people do. Absolutely.
I mean, it can be both. You could say like, hey, I'm leaving Twitter because of ideological reasons, but I'm not going to this, you know, thing with a bunch of JavaScript fanatics in it. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean,
from my point of view, chasing high user numbers is not interesting because where I want to be is not, what's the best analogy? Where I want, since it was last weekend, where I want to be is not the Super Bowl. I want to be in Lucky's, right?
And
for people who don't know, Mr. Lucky's is a bar in California.
I was going to say, it has such a specific reference that our one listener in Walmart.
Yeah, exactly right. but importantly, all of us having been in there, would Mr. Lucky's be better if there were 10,000 people in it?
No. It's actually a pretty good analogy.
Yeah. That's where I want to hang out, right? I don't want to hang out in a shopping mall. And
well, the thing is,
this is why I say I thought Twitter was good in 2012, because there it was. It was mostly conversations. And it increasingly became not so much about conversations.
But it's still conversation. This is what I don't understand. And clearly I'm missing something. So tell me why I've got it wrong. Is if you are, and this is presuming that the people you want to be, reading and engaging with are on Twitter. And I think probably a lot of people have moved away from Twitter. So putting that to one side. But you can have that experience if you go to Twitter and you're following the people that you're interested in. Like I have this. Like, there's a bunch of people I follow on Twitter and I engage with them every day. And they're on there. And there's really interesting conversations. There's people who are sharing interesting things that they're reading, and they're sharing videos, and there's Twitter threads that people get into. There's really great content on Twitter, but I think it's like all of these social media networks. It depends on who you follow. Like everybody's experience is different because it depends on who you follow. There are some people who just fucking follow everybody and they don't, they are write only, right? Like they're basically their own kind of social media PR firm. But I think if you want to follow, I don't know, 100 people, say, and they're the 100 people you give a shit about and they're all on Twitter, I don't understand how it's any different.
Sure.
That's why I'm confused.
If you want to...
here's a question. Would you say the quality of the conversations from the people you're following are better on Mastodon? Like, are people posting...
I am not a good person to ask that question of, because a reasonable proportion of my community moved. So then they're basically no longer on Twitter.
Right.
They've either still got an account like I have and occasionally look at it and occasionally like respond if they get actually mentioned.
Do you feel like the discourse, let me reframe the question then. Do you feel like the discourse has changed as part of the move, or is the discourse the same on a different platform?
Huh. Now that's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
I think the quality of the discourse is slightly better on Mastodon because posts are allowed to be longer, but that's a relatively irrelevant tech thing, right? I think a conversation with people I know, or, you know, people you know on Twitter, right? So that you're aware of, not that you're bosom buddies, you know what I mean? A conversation between those people tends to be approximately the same in both places, exactly the same as it would be if we had a conversation on a mailing list or at someone's wedding or in Mr. Lucky's.
Right.
Talking with my mates is approximately the same wherever I am. That's fine. It does feel to me like there are fewer people on Mastodon derailing the conversation or hassling people in the conversation, or who, you know, the experience of someone who thinks they are better friends with you than they actually are. And so they'll push things into the conversation. You're like, what? And it feels a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's,
yep.
I think because we'd have more people on it, but it still fostered that sense of community, because you don't get that on Reddit, say, because no, everyone thinks they just don't know anybody else. It's all very much a bunch of anonymous, disconnected conversations. Twitter fosters that idea of we're kind of all friends together having a conversation, but it means that you get people who are not necessarily, who inject themselves into conversations in a way that makes people feel uncomfortable. Now, Mastodon doesn't have that, but I don't know whether that's because the Mastodon culture is against it or just because there are fewer people there.
I was going to say, does it not have it, or does it not have it?
It doesn't have it yet, which is entirely a possibility, and I don't know. There are a lot of... So it's interesting. There are a lot of things which people hold up as good examples of Mastodon culture, which have been fostered by changing the culture from the ground up a bit, but they're also a function of the fact that a whole bunch of people aren't there. And so there is some, you take, think of the best example. So I do not particularly experience people trolling me about politics, because there's nothing to troll me on, right? I'm a middle-aged white guy in England. And I don't have to deal with a bunch of people trolling me about lefty politics or whatever, because I can just ignore it. that sort of thing doesn't happen as much on Mastodon, but I think that's largely because if you're in it in order to ruin people's conversations and have a laugh as a troll, there aren't enough people there to make it worth your while yet. So I do not think Mastodon's culture protects against that as much as people think it does, because I think a large portion is just that it hasn't been discovered yet. This is like thinking that your locks are great because no one's broken in, whereas just no one's tried very hard yet. But equally, there is a bunch of cultural stuff which does predicate against that kind of thing, at least a bit. And Johnny, you've talked about this loads before. Jeremy, you'd know all about this. If you set the culture of your social network, your technical online thing, your discussion, whatever, if you set the culture of that right, it becomes self-reinforcing. If you don't set it, then trying to impose it afterwards is close to impossible. But I think Mastodon has done a relatively good job of inculcating a culture which is against the idea of trolling people for amusement, hassling people with loads of questions that they don't want to answer, taking a stand against that sort of adversarial, shouting past one another sort of culture. It's certainly there because people are humans and that's what everyone does. But I think because the culture is more resistant to it, that will to some extent continue. But I don't think it's 100% proof against that, like some people think that it is.
One thing that's interesting, like talking about trolling, that kind of comes to mind here is that there's no doubt that, like you said it, that, you know, I think for a lot of trolls, they're pretty brittle human beings, right? Like, they won't work hard to be trolls for most trolls. Like, for most trolls, I would say that people, like the kind of people who just go on Twitter or whatever and they talk shit about people, that's about it. If you block them, then that's it, right? And then you get hardcore trolls who will go out and dox people and all that kind of stuff. But there is, I think, something to be said about, like, it's been widely known that there's been a trolling issue with Twitter, right, for many years. And part of that was just the amount of bots on Twitter, and part of that is because there just wasn't a lot of moderation on Twitter, and people would report things and nothing would happen. I mean, I've experienced this where I report things, literally nothing happens. And So it wouldn't surprise me if that's just not happened yet with Mastodon, and it will. It's just probably just a symptom of
so
growth.
The difference between Mastodon and Twitter in that specific regard, though, is per instance, the person who runs the instance sets the rules.
Yes.
Right.
So it's that's a much fair. Different.
And again, there's kind of a cultural thing there, because there is more of an expectation that reporting something gets some attention paid to it. Because the key point is, if a bunch of people report something to their instances mods and the mods ignore them, what happens is people are much more prepared to go, okay, this instance sucks. Let's slash the six, right? And then go somewhere else. And that has happened. There's been mods who are like, no, we're not changing that, or we don't care, or they've just ignored it. And what people do is up sticks and go somewhere else, which wasn't an option with Twitter. Because if you didn't like the way Twitter moderated your things, or more appropriately, ignored your request for moderation, what else could you do? There wasn't another Twitter you could go to.
Well, which on one hand, of course, is great because, people who have defended social media platforms have always said, well, if you don't like it, go somewhere else, right? But then when there are three or four major social media platforms in the world,
yeah,
you've got limitations there.
The reason you're there is because the people you want to interact with are there. You can't just go somewhere else where those people aren't.
Yeah, it's not that simple. Whereas with these federated instances of Mastodon, yeah, of course, like there's more of a market of within, yes, Mastodon, right? But the other thing as well, which strikes me about this, is on one hand, that's good. On the other hand, again, this notion of like all these different instances and rules and things like that, I think for most people are confusing, which I think will, as we already talked about, will stand in the way of Mastodon's growth. But the other thing that I'm curious about is, years ago, I think we all used Identica, right? Did we all use it?
I did.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I stopped using it, and this is not trolling directly, was because I got fed up with sanctimonious free software people ragging on me constantly. And it wasn't trolling. These people weren't hateful in the way they were doing it. They were just persistent with a point. They were relitigating the same conversation over and over and over again. And I just got fed up with it.
I wrote a blog post about this. Complaining about the fact that I got shouted at about free software on Identica, and then I got shouted at by people about the blog post.
June
the 23rd, 2010. There it is.
Yeah. One of the things I hope doesn't happen with Mastodon, especially in the technical communities, is because some people will have decamped from Twitter for ideological reasons, of which some of those ideological reasons will be anti-corporation. I just hope it doesn't turn into that again.
Well, see, here's the beauty of it from my point of view is you can think of Identica, historically, as being a free software-focused Mastodon instance. So if today you were to join, if the GNU project set up a Mastodon instance, I'm sure it would be full of people going, actually, it's not Mastodon, it's ActivityPub, don't you know? And hassling, and hassling you for using a non-free font or something, right? But the point is that you wouldn't join that instance, you, Jono, because why would you join it? And the people who are there can just do it. But Identica was the only game in town. There was the free software Mastodon instance and no other Mastodon instances. Whereas Mastodon has already hit the tipping point of there are people there who are more than just software nerds. 2016, not so much, right? When it was first set up, the people who were there, they weren't particularly free software nerds, but they were federated software nerds, essentially. People who liked the concept of Mastodon for ideological reasons. It wasn't they were ideologically against Twitter. They were ideologically for the idea of federation and the indie web and so on, right? Speaking as a guy who is on board with all these technologies, right?
Yeah.
But now there's like Mastodon, which has got loads of mathematicians on it and the history stuff. And
yeah, that's brilliant.
I honestly, I feel like whoever set that up thought of the name first and they went, I hope a bunch of math people show up. And they did. So that's really cool.
is there Mastodon, which is about people who like sailing?
God, how do you even spell? That's hard to even say.
Maybe Mastodon. two A's, it's Dutch people who like sailing.
Now we're just going to get shouted at by Dutch people.
Dutch people are the coolest people. So,
but I think that's exactly the point. There is no overriding Mastodon ideology. There are leanings in general. If you're in that direction, you're sort of over in the direction of being slightly anti-corporate. But I don't think this is actually being anti-corporate. This is being slightly more anti-corporate than the worst corporations. So right. You're still a long way in the corporate direction of centre, right?
Right. Interesting.
So there doesn't seem to be that now. Depending on where you are and depending on what you're talking about, you do get sanctimonious people, and there are fights going on constantly about the nature of what moderation should look like, who should be moderating and who isn't. But that's discussion, right? That's how it's meant to work. And because of the different instances thing, people who wildly disagree with their instances and policies can go somewhere else. People who wildly disagree with a particular other instance's policies can defederate from that instance, so you don't see any posts from people on it, which is one of the nice things. So, I mean, I believe the Truth Social thing is actually Mastodon under the covers. I have no idea whether it tries to federate with all the others, but people can just cut it off.
So one question I do have. So, Jeremy, you're not really on Mastodon much at all, right?
I mean, I have accounts on a couple of different instances, one from way back and one more recently.
Got it. And it sounds like you're much more active, Ack.
Yeah, I use it now like I used to use Twitter 10 years ago.
I was going
to
say,
no, I don't use it to that level.
So this is going to be my question, because I was just looking at your Twitter profile, Ack, and it looks like pretty much since the beginning of this year, almost everything that you're putting out there on Twitter is just retweeting other people's content.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So how have you balanced the use of these two different platforms now? Because you're both on Twitter, you've not taken the ideological jump, but you're clearly using Mastodon more. But how are you breaking it out now?
So the thing, Jeremy, you answer, because I actually wrote a thing about this on Mastodon. Which I'm not going to be able to find because I can't search. but I'll see if I can find it. You go ahead.
So I actively use Twitter, both posting. I have multiple Twitter accounts, one that is, you know, my professional persona, and one that I don't post from and just use to follow like sports and news and other things. So I actively use both of those, actively post to the work one. I use Mastodon basically only to read stuff for the people that left Twitter, but don't really actively engage or post there. I did, out of curiosity, try setting up a Mastodon instance shortly after the Twitter fracas, and it was definitely an interesting... The way it does federation, the sidekick auto-scales very quickly, even with almost no one on the instance.
Yes, yeah. See, on a technical note, Mastodon is actually not bad as a piece of software if what you want is to run an instance for loads and loads and loads and loads of people. The idea that you should run one for yourself is ridiculous, and someone ought to build a personal, technically it would be a personal activity pub instance rather than a personal Mastodon instance, but someone should build one of those which is just you, and you post to it and other things come in, but it's not set up to scale to 2 million users. It doesn't use Sidekick to chunter through everything. It doesn't need all the database stuff. If people
so Masto
want
Host
the idea...
So kind of does this, but no.
Masto Host is cheating, right? So one of the things that helped people build their own websites was WordPress being created for B2, right? It gave you a thing where you could download it and run it yourself, and it's relatively small and easy to do. Masto Host is like WordPress.com. So they run Mastodon for you. Right. So it's not easier to do. They're just better at it. and they're more geared up to do it at scale. But there isn't really the WordPress of ActivityPub, something which is good and up to date, but small, and not, and so it wouldn't scale. In my opinion, it shouldn't even have user accounts. It's yours, and that's it. Two people can't sign up to it. They should run their own. But that sort of thing doesn't exist. I can't find the thing I wrote. But I wrote the thing about the journey from Twitter to Mastodon. And one of the big steps on there is where you switch the positions of the two icons on your phone.
That's a great point.
So you have a Mastodon app on your phone, or you use the website, whichever. Exactly the same as Twitter. You can just use the website, bookmark it to your home screen, and it works fine, no problem. And like step four or five. So I wish I could find the damn thing so I could.
This is, by the way, an indictment of Mastodon.
We should talk about search because that's interesting. So here are the steps. How to migrate from Twitter to Mastodon, which I wrote last November. You hear that Mastodon exists, and then you work out how to get an account, which is way too confusing. And then you write a post going, "Hello, I'm on Mastodon." And then don't do anything else. And then you write a bit more. And then you make the transition. Step five is you make the transition. I'm going to post a thing and you have to think about where am I going to put it. Now, you might pick Twitter all the time. You might put it on both. But you actually think about that when you post something. You don't just go, I'll post Twitter and then go, oh, I'll check Mastodon once a day or something. You're actually thinking, where should this go? And then step six is that seesaw starts tipping to Mastodon. And then step seven is you swapping the Twitter and Mastodon icons on the home screen of your phone. And I hit step seven a while back. And then, as you said, Jono, over the course of this year, the seesaw has continued to tip. So now I'll have a glance at Twitter once a day, maybe. But it's not like... Right. Every time I defocus from the computer screen for 3 seconds, I look at Twitter to see what's on. And some people never make it that far, and that's fine. They never supposed to. And no problem with that. But that's how the migration has been in my experience. That it's a gradual transition. I started finding myself thinking, I'm getting more feedback here and more interesting feedback. And that's an important thing. That's a very good point. If you write stuff on Mastodon, you tend to get more and better responses. Now, that may be because it's a smaller, tighter-knit group. But I think it's because it's smaller and tighter-knit, it's less diffuse. So people have less to pay attention to and therefore pay more attention, if you see what I mean.
Right.
I do not, again, but what's the, I think the, what, some what, of that may be cultural, and some of it is just that there's less to read, so you can spend more time reading each thing and replying. And I think some of it is that there's more point in replying because you're more likely to get a decent conversation.
Yeah. But the
not farming for karma, you know?
Yeah, I have a comment and a question for both of you. I made a change in how I use Twitter at the beginning of this year. I came to the realization that that I post stuff to Twitter that I think is interesting, right? But 95% of the stuff that I was posting was either something that I originally created, my own stuff, or if somebody shared something with me that they thought was interesting and I thought was interesting, then I'd retweet it, right? But it was largely... the majority of my content was anchored from me. Mm-hmm. And then the primary way in which I interfaced with Twitter was in notifications.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, like, you know. Used Twitter.
Thank you.
Was you know, you don't like this content?
Sorry, am I getting in the way of your massively transformational purpose?
You've got to be hyper-transformational.
filled with references that five people will get today.
I know. This is all about the... This is actually quite relevant to the point that I'm about to make about echo chambers. but I found myself primarily using Twitter in that regard. I was just posting my own shit, little elements of other stuff that I'd see. And then And then I was primarily interacting with people through notifications. So I was quite responsive with people who reply to me. And then I had this realization that it's quite a limiting way to use it. I realized that I just never, ever looked at home on Twitter, ever. Mm. And then I decided, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and intentionally look at home. And a bunch of these people who I followed at various stages, one of the things I like to do with Twitter is I like to just decide on like a thing that I'm interested in. And then I'll just go and find a bunch of people who are into that thing and I'll go and follow a load of them just so I can like see what's going on. And I started doing this early this year. So my home feed is filled with a bunch of people who I followed, some varying levels of experience with them. And the Twitter experience was dramatically better. Because I was seeing a whole load of content that, you know, that I wasn't looking at because I wasn't really looking at the home feed. And then I decided to start. One of the things I'd noticed that a lot of people were doing was retweeting. And this credit to you, Ak, because I noticed you were doing this, people retweeting other people's stuff. And I thought, yeah, it's a less self-centered way of using these social media platforms, right? Because you're highlighting somebody else's stuff that you think is interesting. So I started doing that more. And again, the quality of the experience was way better. So like, how do you guys use these like social media networks? Because I found that now I'm using home and I'm looking at home, I've been learning so much cool shit on Twitter and like seeing really interesting posts. And also not just interesting, but really like a lot of funny stuff as well. Like stuff that I find amusing. And now what I'm tending to do as well is just like repost things from other social media networks on Twitter with the credit applied to it as well. So
I use TweetDeck, so something similar to home.
Not much longer, dude. It is disappointingly going away, which I'm very sad about because I'd forgotten how much I don't like the main Twitter interface. And TweetDeck's lovely. I really like TweetDeck.
I was using TweetDeck for a long time, and honestly, I don't know why I stopped using it.
So why would you say TweetDeck's going away? It's actually run by Twitter. It's not a third-party service.
They've changed a bunch of... So I use Better TweetDeck, which is a browser extension, which adds a bunch of little nicenesses, which it's fine that they didn't get built by Twitter themselves. And the guy said, yeah, they brought out the new beta tweet deck. By Dr. Dre, yes. But they've changed apparently a bunch of stuff. You now know as much as I do. Because my finding out about TweetDeck possibly going away, possibly changing, coincided quite neatly with my massively trending down my use of Twitter anyway. So I haven't paid that much attention to it.
I think you're talking about the native apps are going away.
No. This is TweetDeck itself.
They announced back in June last year that they were going to shut down TweetDeck for Mac. And pushing people to the web app. They were explicit about pushing people to the web app.
TweetDeck.twitter.com. The web app.
Yeah. No, the web app. I only ever used web app for Twitter. I never used the native app at all.
So I don't think the web app is going away.
Oh, well, so I may be wrong about it. But that was the understanding that I had. But yeah, no worries about that. Jeremy, carry on. Okay. So the thing which I think is interesting about the thing you said, John, about resharing other people's content, putting eyes on, you know, someone else did this thing, is that there are a bunch of technical decisions Mastodon has made with cultural goals. Right. And the two big ones are there's no search and there's no quote tweets. And there are
either of those. This is how much I know about Mastodon. There's no search and there's no quote tweets.
Yes.
Wait, if you go to mastodon.social, which is from what I saw, the instance you use, the very top left says search.
You can't search the content of tweets. You can search people's names, but not the content.
So you can search for a hashtag or a user, but if you type arbitrary free text, it doesn't work?
Correct. And as I say, this is deliberate, explicit policy on their part. Now, these policies are open to discussion, and the discussion is going on. But there are two big discussions going on right now about whether they should have search after all, whether they should have quote tweets after all. So the quote.
What's hilarious is that when you search, there's options for all people, hashtags, and posts. And I typed in Elon, which is clearly going to be a Mastodon, and there is nothing in posts. So there's an option for posts, but there's nothing there.
I think that's interesting. I don't know what that search is then. How weird.
Maybe they're doing some updates.
So there being no quote tweets means that if you want to, let's say someone say, here's this thing I saw, you have to push the original. You can't quote tweet it. Now,
okay. This is stupid.
This is a
functional deficit of Twitter.
No, you see,
I know it's not supposed to be compared to Twitter, but now, let's be honest, it is, and now, it's a functional deficit.
Bear with me. There are arguments on both sides for this, absolutely. And I'm not 100% in favour of the policy, but I can see why they did it, and I think on balance, I think it's better. I found myself a lot, and still do, wanting to say, here's this cool thing, and here's my opinion about it, right? And I can't do that, and it's annoying. And I would
so
like-
what's the reasoning behind it? You said you support the reason, but what is the reason?
So there are two reasons behind it. The first one is that in order to say to the people you know, here is a cool thing, you have to push the original. You can't put your own brand on it. It's not a way of getting the attention to come to you rather than the person, right?
Hang on, I'm confused. You're going to have to say that again.
So, right, I would like you to be honest now. Okay. There are, I believe, a bunch of people who will quote tweet a thing because they quite like the idea that their quote tweet got lots and lots and lots of likes rather than the original thing.
Okay. I'm sure those people, but
I think it's pretty common that you essentially try to steal some of the limelight from an original thing. And I quite like that you cannot. I'm not saying everyone, that's the only reason people do it, but I think it's a thing.
But how much of a thing do you think it is?
It's hard to say.
I think you think it's a big thing.
I think it's
aside from how common it is, to expand on your answer when you give it, do you think it materially impacts your experience on Twitter is what I would care about.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Good point.
Yes. But more importantly than that is the second reason they think quote tweets are a bad idea, which is that it means you can't dunk on someone else's post. And
so you can't quote tweet something and say, this is stupid, essentially. Yes.
And can't you reply and say, this is stupid?
Yeah. But at that point, you're not exposing the reply to all of your followers, just to all of theirs. So it doesn't spread your
message.
But isn't
that a really bad
thing?
That's then massively impacting how conversation happens on Mastodon then.
Yes, and this is exactly what I said about the culture thing, right? They are the Mastodon arrow tends to point more in the direction of we will stop you doing this thing even though there are good uses because we want to prevent the bad ones. And the Twitter arrow tends to point more in the direction of we will let you do this thing even though there are bad uses because we want to accentuate the good ones. And I think
Both
of those are reasonable stances to take. Neither are inherently wrong, but Mastodon's culture is different to Twitter's in that regard.
Hmm.
And so I think when people arrive and like, we should have quote tweets, that's wrong. If you hang out for a bit, I don't find myself missing them now as much as I did 3 months ago. And that's because I think I've grown more in touch with the Zen of the way Mastodon is with the VOD, right?
Because I have to say my kind of perception of quote tweets is this is how I see them and how I use them is when somebody if somebody is like, a reply is like, where you want to kind of join the conversation or you want to validate something, or you can validate it with a like, right? But I find that when people quote tweet stuff, they basically say, I think this is interesting enough for my audience. And, or I also have something which I'd like to comment on. So I want to make a comment on this thing to my audience.
Yes.
Whereas when you reply,
to amplify while adding context.
Right now, sort of. I certainly agree that some quote tweets and some tweeters are like that. Absolutely. And that's the way it's meant to be used. But I think I agree with you because I think there's an awful lot of stuff where you write a good thing, it gets 12 likes, and then someone popular tweets, this is great, and they get 2,000 likes. And you're like...
But when?
Do you want me to look for examples? I can.
Well, I'm sure there's individual examples, but to make that claim, it's got to be a consistent thing that's happening. Is that consistently happening?
Is quote tweeting
a better way to build engagement?
Also, is the value judgment there that you need to get the likes versus the thing you said being liked? Like, I guess it's how you personally care about,
right?
Like your value judgment of that usage, I guess.
I disagree with you because the tweets that get the likes also get put into other people's news feeds, get your account more attention. Get you more, well, in the old days, got you more likely to be verified before you just needed $8.
The only thing I can say is,
this is farming for karma stuff. And the fact opt out of that whole conversation is one of the reasons I moved.
But the one thing I would say is that, when was it? About a year ago, someone posted this image on Facebook. And it was like a meme thing with Leonardo DiCaprio. And it was basically making a snarky comment about anti-vax people, right? So I took that and I put it on Twitter. And I just said something like, this is hilarious, something like that, right? I couldn't find it on Twitter, so I put it on there. And it went viral. Like it had hundreds. I think it had something like 100,000 likes, something ridiculous, right? But I noticed that when people were liking it, that was fine. But when it really started taking off was when people were retweeting and quote tweeting it. So I got more traction with my stupid viral tweet because people were retweeting
those are arguments for it. And there are arguments for it. I do not think this is a knockdown. Quote tweets are definitely bad and they should always be banned. And there are no arguments against it. But I think the Mastodon... the meter has swung in the direction of we shouldn't do this for these reasons. And I think that's a reasonable decision to make. And
I think if their goal is to actively keep the culture of Mastodon and not become Twitter, that is a good way to help achieve that goal.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And...
there are two layers to that comment right there.
Well, but I think that's the beauty of it because, why would they not want to do that? I mean, honestly, not kidding, that's a real question. That's not me taking the piss or rolling my eyes. Why would they not want to do that? Why would they not want to keep the culture?
So everyone is different, and the person who initially founded Mastodon has been clear. Yeah. He's turned down VC money. He's been clear that he doesn't want to turn it into a for-profit thing. Some people, given that same opportunity, would have very much turned it into a for-profit thing.
Yeah.
He's taken a very principled stance that this is why I created it. I don't want this to become a big thing. I want it to be the thing I created, and that's a...
I think this is steam engine time question, right? If he was the kind of guy who would do that, then he wouldn't have built Mastodon. He'd have built Post or Hive.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because that's exactly what they are.
When people start off not wanting to do the thing, and then when they get the VC check, they're like, maybe I'll do the thing.
Maybe I'll do the thing.
Yeah.
From my yacht.
Totally. But importantly, right, what we're describing already has a name, and the name is selling out. That's what selling out is.
That is exactly what selling out is. But going back to your question of like, why wouldn't they want to be different? I mean, sure. But my view on this is being different for a purposeful reason, right? Don't be different for the purpose of being different.
No.
So, like, and that's to how you me, get what be I real. Don't, right. Yeah. That's exactly what you get. To me, the concern I have using that one example of disallowing the, you know, the quote tweets thing is, to me, that is a wonderful way in which people can amplify other people's content, and it's another interesting thread of conversation. And if the reason why they decided not to do that is to prevent either bad behavior or to stop kind of like people using this for the concerns that you had earlier on, Ak, about people using it for to boost themselves, to me, that's a particularly negative way of looking at the world that then removes a quite nice feature. And to me, that's being different in the same way that one of those emo kids, like a navel gazing emo kid, is being different. They're not actually different. They're just a fucking edgelord.
No, and it's like I think the exact opposite. It's more important to stop bad behavior than it is to accentuate good behavior. That's
but it's proportional. If you're getting 95% good behavior, and you're getting 5% good behavior, why would you penalize the 95% to deal with the 5%?
Because I don't think
that's silly.
I don't think it's 95%.
But we've already defined that on Mastodon, it is 95% good behavior. We've already said that there is way less bad behavior on there, partially because of scale. And surely a bad
way.
But I think
the counter argument to that would be partially because of scale, but is the other partial part because of the design decisions they made?
Because of the design decisions they made. That's exactly the point. We did all these design decisions, so people can't do bad things. So now, fuck it, let's just let them do bad things. Because they haven't done up to now.
I agree, but you know how you can avoid getting hacked? You can air gap your computer, right? It's a blunt way of doing it. Sure, but my point is that, like, I don't know. I think there is a risk of being overly paranoid about bad behavior. I'm not suggesting this is the reason why the Mastodon people have done this. I'm just saying that. And there is also, on the flip side, risk of people not giving a shit about it.
Well, yeah, but I feel like...
You don't think there's a risk of being overly paranoid about bad behavior?
I don't think it's a risk. If you're overly paranoid about bad behavior, you don't get bad behavior. Your pitch would be, but then you don't get any good behavior either because no one shows up. And I think the graphs of users prove you wrong. So people
on the graphs of users prove me right, because there is a tiny fraction of people on Mastodon.
But again,
compared to all of these other social media networks, Mastodon is a tiny fraction of their user base.
That doesn't matter to all the people who are doing this.
Sure,
this
but
is
what
a
I'm saying,
fascinating microcosm of both of your worldviews.
Yeah, because what they want to build is Mr. Lucky's, which is not improved by having 10 million people in the door.
No. These are two different things. I'm not questioning.
I really don't think they are.
Well, hang on. Let me explain what I mean by that. I'm not questioning the fact that the value of having quality over quantity, 100%. Right. I would much rather go to Mr. Lucky's than go to, you know, a giant yard bird. Right. Like, I'd much rather do that. the point I'm making is not about quantity. It's about the depth of conversation that you can have, and people not including certain features because a tiny proportion of people could conceivably abuse that feature.
You keep saying a tiny proportion of people, which I have no numbers on this, but people have repeatedly said it's not a tiny proportion. That there's a lot of people,
people
being dunked on.
Which people?
Like my Mastodon timeline.
That's what do you mean by that?
I don't understand your question. I don't.
You're saying that there is a much larger proportion of bad behavior.
Yes.
And I'm saying, which people are those people who are saying that?
I don't understand what you're expecting my answer to look like. Things I have read on Mastodon, therefore it's people I follow or have been boosted into my timeline. I have no smaller category than that.
No, but what I'm saying is, if we make a pie, I would imagine that the proportion of people who are bad actors in all of the social media networks combined is a very, very small piece of that pie. It's a piece that's too big, but it's a small piece, right? And it sounds like your argument is that, no, there's way more people are bad actors on social media. Therefore, we need these features to mitigate their bad behavior.
I think his point isn't that their piece is too big. It's that the outsized impact that that piece has is too big. Correct me if I'm wrong, Eck.
So...
Which is a fair point. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think so. Yes.
Because bad actors will have a negative impact on a lot of people.
Yeah. And that's the vibe that I'm seeing people say is the case. It doesn't happen to me. I don't get quote tweeted the way that I get dunked on.
But that's what I'm saying. When you say seeing people say, who are those people you're talking about? Are these people you just... Are you talking like anecdotally?
And yes.
Is it data or anecdotes?
Data's just a plural of anecdote, dude.
But carry on.
Yeah. But anyway, so this is the impression I have from what I've seen people say. I have no smaller category of people than it's just stuff I've seen.
Right. Yeah. This is actually another conversation. Is like, what is the proportion of people who are arseholes in the world?
Yeah, totally. But I don't think we're necessarily well placed to speak about that, to be honest.
No, we are the worst people to talk about this conversation.
Okay, so that's Mastodon.
Yes, very interesting. I would love to get a sense of what people think about all of this.
Very much so.
In the Bad Voltage community. Is there a Bad Voltage Mastodon?
There is not a Bad Voltage Mastodon.
Should there
because
be?
Because I was going to set one up, and then I wasn't sure which instance to put it on. One of the small things we haven't talked about is that Mastodon.social is the biggest instance by miles. So the inclination is to maybe go somewhere else, but there's also a fear that if you go on some other instance, that the instance admin gets a bit overwhelmed and then shuts it down. So it's a bit hard to know. You need to be able to find someone who you're confident is still going to be there 2 years from now, but is not confident. But that they won't just go wild and the thing falls apart. So I haven't set one up yet, but I'm going to.
Well, let's talk about that in the community. We'll figure it out.
This has
been a long one, but it's been a fun one. So
it has. We didn't even talk about the reasons that people move away from Twitter, which could be a whole other topic. But
we might need to part two this.
God knows that will come up in the news. I will try to set up another. A Bad Voltage Mastodon account.
That'd be cool.
So people can follow it, and I'll let you know in the next show or whatever.
Nice.
Cool.
I will join. All right. Peace out, everybody.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.